This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, everybody. This is Dean Martin.
And I'm Jerry Lewis.
We're down here at the hospice here in Pinellas Park. We're going to try to get Terry Schiavo to say something. Isn't that right, Jerry?
That's right, Dean. We're going to try to get Terry Schiavo to say something to us.
I'm Dean Martin.
And I'm Jerry Lewis.
And we'll head on in there now and talk to Terry Schiavo. Go ahead, Jerry. Do your thing.
Hey, lady! Lady! Oh, she ain't waking up, Dean.
Well, that's a shame. Yeah. My head is spinning.
Lady!
Grinning.
If this is just to be.
Paid for by Kerry for President.
My life is gonna be.
1-800-449-8686. Thanks, guys.
Lady!
All right, let's go to the phone here. Lloyd, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. I don't know if I... Is this the radio program?
Yes, sir, it is.
Is this the show I'm listening to?
I don't know what show you're listening to, sir.
I'm listening to the Phil Haney show. Is that
Phil Hendry?
I beg your pardon?
Phil Hendry.
Ah, yes. I was calling in reference to the young lady in Florida who is at present comatose. At,
Terry Schiavo?
My understanding is that's her name, yes, sir.
Okay.
I wanted to get serious for a moment, if I could, sir, because I know you're doing a lot of humorous things.
No, go ahead.
I was in the Korean conflict. I was a member of the United States Navy, and we had and dealt with a great many young men who were seriously wounded in that conflict, and some were in various states of coma or unconsciousness.
I can imagine, yeah. Were you a medical corpsman?
No, sir, I wasn't, but I was in the naval hospital in Japan for a period of a week. And as interesting, you may find it interesting to know that many of the Japanese doctors used a Buddhist technique to try to raise a lot of these poor young men who were comatose.
A Buddhist is like a meditative technique of some kind?
Well, it had to do with relaxation, and I can tell you how I can demonstrate it to you if you'd like.
Go ahead.
What was done basically is you laid the patient back on the bed as they were calling a coma, so obviously they're laying down, and you have them close their eyes, and you make sure that they're breathing regularly, and then you get up to them and go, "Wake up!" Now, by
what?
Well, that's what's the matter.
What do you mean? You go up and you scream at him?
Yes, sir. That's the... Or you can use a bullhorn. But
see you later.
Wait, you don't hang up on me, you piece of...
Don't put that call through to me, bud.
Gary said he had a whole idea when I wake up a coma lady.
Well, I don't want to talk to some screw nut like that.
Screw nut?
Why don't you go off and practice your "I am come to ready his bed"? God!
Hear me now!
Yeah, that's it. "For I am come to ready his bed." Man, that Terry Schiavo case, it's on everybody's lips. Anyway, we got to move on to some other stuff. Here's one here. Some guys have... What?
I'm going to take Brian Creek.
Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Is this Vernon?
Hi, yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I am calling because I heard you were discussing a... am I on the air right now?
Yeah.
I heard you discussing a audition of some kind that you're doing. And I wanted to remind you that there are a great many of us out here who, you know, we're not actors. And
well, it was just an audition I'm doing for NBC. I'm sorry.
I'm a high school teacher and I'm varsity football coach. And
what's very good work?
Well, it is good work, and I come home at night, and I want to relax, and I hear a man on the radio talking about his, you know, I have a movie actor, I got a job, I got a, you know, makes me feel like I'm about that big, you know, fully engorged, and I just, you know, it's like, you know, don't you have it tough, you know.
All right, sir, I didn't mean to say, you know.
Well, I wish that you would, you know, sit there and cry, you know, about how you... It makes me think you need to go and talk to your daddy. And
I don't need to talk to my daddy.
Well, and don't start bringing up how tough it is to be an actor, okay? Because as far as I'm concerned, you people are, you don't work at all.
All right, that's fine. It's your opinion. I didn't even bring it up for that long. God, he makes it sound like you got a tough life.
I'm not on there going,
Mama, I gotta go to my acting job in the morning and be on a TV.
You know, I
didn't say anything like that. All I said was I had a gig. I had to go down and do an audition in the morning. I'm sorry I brought it up, okay?
Well, I appreciate it if you just keep these opinions to yourself. There's a young woman dying in Florida, okay?
Oh, yeah, okay, let's bring Terry Schiavo into it.
Yeah, that's right. There's a young woman dying in Florida while you're on the radio talking about how you get up in the morning and go to your acting job. Why don't you just go and get your mama to give you a little bottle of milk? Make me out of my...
Fine. 1-800-449-8686. Charlie, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Is this the program?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm calling because I'm not very, very happy with what I'm hearing on your show tonight. And I think that you're making light of a very serious situation. And there's a young woman dying in Florida.
I know there's a young woman dying in Florida.
Well, then you being on the radio talking and laughing about...
Get out of here. Hi. Mavis, hi. You're on the air.
Mr. Henry, I'm calling with regard to some of the material I heard on your show tonight. You were mentioning about how President Bush is doing a good job. I don't know if you're aware of a lady dying in Florida.
I know there's a woman dying in Florida.
Well, don't yell at me, you white...
You know what? I know there's a lady dying in Florida. What, is she the reason everybody's calling with their opinions tonight about everything? Yes, sir, Steve, go ahead.
I feel great show as always.
Thank you.
I'm always enjoying your program. I really like it a lot. But tonight I got a little upset because you came out in favor of Governor Schwarzenegger, you know, cutting back on the state budget. And I don't know if you're aware of the fact that Terry Schiavo...
Will you bug off with Terry Schiavo? Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Phil. This is G. Gordon Liddy.
This ain't Art Bell?
No, this isn't Art Bell. This is G. Gordon Liddy.
How can I tell if it's Art Bell or G. Gordon Liddy?
I'm a little fair.
You're fair than Art.
Yes. Phil, I totally disagree with your stance on gun control. Are you aware that...
There's a young woman dying in Florida?
Yeah, well, I was going to say that, but...
Yeah, okay. Enough already.
Hear me now for... Ow! At least I didn't say there's a young woman dying in Florida! Pervert!
I'll keep hitting you, man. You keep bringing it up. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil
There's
Henry
a young
Show.
Man dying at home up here.
9-8-6-8-6. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. The Phil Henry Show is back.
2 minutes, we're going to go down to the garage here where we work, just below the studios we work in here in Sherman Oaks, California, to our special guest, Bo Rosenberg, who has the world's first methane-powered car. And we're going to take a test drive in that coming up on the Phil Henry Show. The NBA All-Ugly Team has been announced. Yes, we've been waiting for this one. The All-Ugly Team. That's right. Take a man who was born 7 feet, say 8 feet tall, and make fun of his face, too. You know, the pituitary situation with basketball players almost makes it a fait accompli that the guy's face is going to be messed up, too. Guy's 8 feet tall, so how good-looking is he going to be? Now, I know there's some good-looking basketball players, but I've never really thought about it. However, there's some guy spending enough time... He posted the ugliest basketball players currently playing in the NBA. And some of these guys have got kissers on them that are pretty messed up. They mention Reggie Miller. Reggie's Reggie's not a bad-looking man, but he has, I think somebody said, a Ferengi look. You know, he's got the big ears. They also mention the classic Larry Birds of the world, but then they start to nitpick. Scottie Pippen? Scottie's not a handsome guy. I don't want to say he's a freaking ugly guy. He's got kind of a regular guy's face. They mentioned dudes that I've never even heard of, like Menge Batir. Now, this is what I call a low blow. Menge Batir is from China. And he's, what, 9 feet tall or something? Well, how good-looking do you think he's going to be? Hey, look at this. He's 9 feet tall, and he's ugly. Ha, 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 ha! And here's the reason. They make enough money, don't they? Ah, that's right. So you guys want to play in the NBA, huh? Yeah? It's going to be $20 million a year. Great. But they're going to call you ugly, a freak, a circus clown, and everything else. You put up with that? Well, do I care, man? I was living in a crap can in China. I'll take anything other than that. Sure, I'll come over to America. You can call me this guy, Menge Batir. And with a name like that, I don't even think he comes from, like, regular China. I think he's from out in the middle of the Mongolian desert or something. I think this dude was riding around on a freaking yak. A pretty damn big one, too. They mentioned some other guys I've never heard of. Steve Hawes. Then they got Patrick Ewing. All right. Scottie Pippen, I don't think he's a bad-looking guy. And Scott Pollard, who's kind of a big ape. Now, they started off with this poor guy by the name of, what's his name? Is he the ugliest ever? Well, they got Sam Cassell, and Sam plays with the, right now I think he's playing with Minnesota. He's pretty freaky looking. Reggie Miller, some dude named Popeye Jones. Why do you think they call him that? He's got eyeballs bugged out of his kisser like Barbara Bush. He's got a real, yeah, he's got that real alien look. Then they got Tyrone Hill, frightening as hell. Hubie Brown. Now, that's, see, if Hubie Brown's so freaking ugly, how come he was on TV for so long? Well, okay. You got me on that. Al Roker. But.
What's wrong with Al Roker?
Al Roker's freaky looking, man. Put the weight back on, Al. Put it back on. Oh, God, put it back on. Walt Hazzard. John Havlicek. John Havlicek wasn't so much ugly as he was just one big sort of farm boy. Him and Bird, just a couple of farmers. Bird came out of Indiana. Havlicek came out of Ohio State. Just a couple of big, tall farmers. Couple of guys got done with Paw, turned a crapper up right in the road, maybe fixed the back fence. And then for the rest of the day, they spent just kind of bouncing the ball out there, out behind the barn. Now, that's the classic Hoosier image, isn't it? That's the classic middle American image. But there wasn't anything ugly about Havlicek. The guy just knew how to milk a cow. If you pardon the expression. Then they got Calvin Booth. I just personally think that when a guy is 8 feet tall, why hit, you know? You know what they ought to do? They ought to come up with the ugliest TV anchors. Just the most frightening looking people who get to be on television every day. Now that, I can't even begin to think of who it might be, but I think it would be a marvelous thing, and I'm starting with Al Roker only because if you lose all that weight, make sure you get it off the chin too, friend. Otherwise, it just doesn't make any sense. You slim down from the neck down, and then you've got like 6 pounds of fat hanging off of your chin. Oh, boy, that's weird. So Roker's pretty out there. I think Matt Lauer's kind of freaky looking with a new buzz cut. I think you better grow that hair back, man. There's something almost, I don't know, SS looking about you. I don't know, man. Half those guys they got reporting, those guys on CNN, you know? Half the guys they got reporting in the field, you know? Who are those guys anyway? You remember when the war broke out? And now let's go to Billy Johnson. They played the thing and he's some Cockney freak that they just picked up off the street. And now let's go to Billy Johnson. He's there in Baghdad. Billy?
Today the American forces invaded here. There are thousands.
What the hell are you?
What?
Well, what are you doing? Are you American?
No, I'm not. I'm reporting here for Fox News, CNN.
The funniest one was when they had a guy, they were doing the Afghanistan thing. And so they got a stringer from Pakistan or something. And now let's go to Bhakti Vedantu, and he's there in the Khyber Pass. Bhakti?
Today, American foot, I give up.
Yeah, you can't get it. You can't even do it, can you?
No, it's too embarrassing.
All right. Well, we'll come back to him later when he learns the language.
You know.
You imagine what the thing would be in the, you know, they have in the meeting of the editors later on in the broadcast booth. Okay, let's talk about some of the stringers we're using. Can we hire people who speak English? Well, I don't know. We want to get the news. Yeah, but it doesn't make any difference if we get the news on the air and the guy doesn't speak the language. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, I just want to scoop CNN. Fine, we scooped CNN, and the guy spoke Sanskrit. So we got it on the air, and nobody understood it. Well, we still got it ahead of him. Well, that's great. Good for you. You understand what I'm saying to you, Charlie? Huh? I'm the editor here at CNN. I want a cat on the air, man. When the news breaks that we're bombing Baghdad, get a guy on the air that speaks English. You had a guy on the air that spoke Aramaic and five versions of ancient Greek. And nobody understood. Here was the report. I got the recording right now.
Bob Jones, Baghdad.
What the hell is that? Well, his name's Bob Jones. I thought he spoke English. Well, obviously, his old man came from America, and he was born to some sort of a, I don't know, a washerwoman down there near the Ganges River. Whatever it is, man, start hiring some people here. Sorry, sir. So let's get some of these ugly freaks on television. You want to get the all-ugly team. Football, hockey is where the ugly cats are at. What are you talking about? And thank you very much, Harry. Larry King, take a look at that kisser, man. That'll crack six mirrors just right there. He's the only guy on television whose shoulders are like a foot higher than the top of his head. When you look at Larry King, he says, "Hi, I'm Larry King." Okay, was your head mounted in your chest? Is that what I'm getting here? Or yeah, Larry is. I'm not even going with the women, see, because the women are all beautiful. They got to be beautiful. The women have all have to have some kind of good looks. That's just, it's always been and it always will be. And it's got nothing to do with anything. The women have got to look good. But the guys, I think the time has come when we start getting the all-ugly TV team. Now, remember that guy Garrick Utley on NBC? Talk about a dude from an... I was just talking about to Tom Danheiser from the George Norrie Show, and they're doing a whole thing on a Twilight Zone to serve man. The guys with the big heads that came down from outer space. That's Garrick Utley. You talk about a man from Mars. Hello, I'm Garrick Utley. What exactly did he do there? Then you had Tom Brokaw with his busted jaw. Get all these guys out of here. So anyway, that's the NBA all-ugly team. It's posted today on some goofball website, some blog someplace. Greta Van Susteren's got a scary-looking mug, too, yeah. Although she, you know, the eye job, I think, really kind of... She tightened up the eyes because the Connie Chung look was in. So she thought she'd go Asian. And now Connie Chung can't get arrested, so... Nice going, Greta. And Greta's in the dressing room going, I went Chinese and Chung isn't happening? What's going on? Well, Greta, I thought, you told me she was happening. I go and I get all China'd up and she's off the air. Now what? Well, you look really good. You look hot. I look hot, huh? That's not what I'm about. I'm a liberated woman. Well, I think it's great. You know, you got the bags out from under your eyes. So you look a little bit like you're from Harbin. So what? So maybe you're with the People's Republic Army. Whatever. Harbin. Yeah, Van Susteren. And then, of course, Bill O'Reilly. That guy is, he's an ugly man. Bill O'Reilly's an ugly freaking man. He looks like the kind of guy, Bill O'Reilly reminds me of every cat that's ever been on my case in my life. From a school principal, to a cop, to my dad, to Little League, any dude that was ever on my case, threw me in jail, or otherwise just hampered my ability to go out and have a couple of laughs, they all look like Bill O'Reilly. With the suit, the tie, the balding head, the sort of busted veins in the nose that says that after work, maybe he's next to a jug, maybe a little too long. Yeah, you know that kind of bloated red thing that goes on? O'Reilly looks like he gets off the air, heads on down to whatever the hell they head on down to over there. And in the next morning, he shows up with another three or four blown-up veins in his nose. Who's Gin Blossom? Oh, you mean the Gin, yeah.
You think there's a person?
I thought Gin Blossom was another anchor. Hello, I'm Gin Blossom, alcoholic. Yeah, you take a look at O'Reilly. That's a guy who's got a face on him like any dude that was ever on your case. Him and that guy from Matrix. Mr. Anderson. That's another guy. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Although I liked him as an elf in that Lord of the Rings thing. 1-800-449-8686. Are we going to go down to the garage and check out the new methane car? And that's with Bo Rosenberg. When we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Stand by.
Tell me when we're on, bud.
Stand by. All right, you're on.
And this is Phil Henry. We've been on for 30 seconds now, they're telling me.
You're on.
This is Phil Henry, and I'm down in the garage here at the Premier Radio Networks in Sherman Oaks, California, and with me is Bo Rosenberg. And Bo has invented a methane-powered car. I'm going to be very interested and excited to see how this works, Bo. And tell me where this all was formulated in your mind.
Well, Phil, step right up here.
Well, Phil, for me, the number one concern was to find a way to efficiently conserve fuel, to create power cells that did not derive from fossil fuels. That was the work that we were doing.
And so you have partners?
I've got three partners in the Orange County area, Jim Dandere and Steve Castor. And my other partner is Marianne Cordman, who lives over here in Pasadena and is basically the funding for it. She's elderly and doesn't know a lot about cars, but is interested in alternative fuels.
So would you call yourself an environmentalist?
I would call myself a person interested in the energy future of this country and the way we are consuming fossil fuels right now at a rate that outstrips the rest of the world. I certainly understand that the necessity is there, and that's for sure.
You gotta go to break.
All right, now what?
You gotta go to break.
Okay, excuse me for a minute, Bo. We have to go to a break. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
No, wait a minute. I'm wrong. Keep going.
Hold on for a minute. What did you say?
Keep going. I was wrong. No break.
Okay, so we're not breaking. So, Bo, we're here in the garage, and this automobile that you have in front of me, I'm going to describe it to my audience. It looks like a regular... Is this a Saturn? It is a Saturn. We've converted both fuel cylinders. We have two fuel cylinders on either side of the transmission. We've converted the traditional gas tank, and we've made some other adjustments, but it's basically a Saturn, yeah.
All right, you got to break now.
I have to break now, bud?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
Will you get your stuff together over there? Jesus, you're yelling at him? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you.
I thought we had to break.
Yeah, just shut up. I'm frightened. Don't be frightened, sir. Okay, so are you going to demonstrate the car? You're not going to yell at me, are you? I'm not going to yell at you. I got an idiot at the studio who told me to brake twice, and he was wrong. Okay, well, I don't understand. Well, that's okay. All right, there. By the way, the sound in the back room that people are hearing is there's a vacuum going here through the parking garage. So this car is powered by methane, and where does this gas come from? Well, methane gas still is produced primarily by composted materials, materials that have fermented. It is a gas, in other words, that's created from composted or fermented or decomposed materials. And we're able to derive it from a variety of sources, anywhere from farm fertilizer, pig fertilizer, that kind of thing. All right, so it's gas from fertilizer. Yes. All right, so Bo's going to step into the car right now, and you'll fire this up. What is the exciting aspect of this, Bo?
Got to brake.
Shut up. I'm not braking.
You do.
Shut up. What's the...
30 seconds.
Shut up. What's the... So what's the big thing with this?
We'll throw it... 20 seconds.
Just never mind.
10 seconds.
What's the matter? Never mind. So what's the big thing?
We'll throw it... You got to do it real fast.
Okay, start it up. Oh, okay, hold on. Yeah, that... Sorry. Turn it off.
You gotta break, bro.
Turn it off. Turn the car off. I gotta break.
You gotta break.
Right back on the Phil Henry Show. Turn it off.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. John here. John, you're a gas station owner. You're offering a gas station price drops. Is that right?
For the foreseeable future, we are, Phil. But the way things are going right now, I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do it. But we are cutting the price of our gasoline by 25 cents a gallon here at our station.
Where are you?
We're in Redlands, California.
You're in what station have you got?
Well, I've got an Arco, and we also across the streets of Sunoco. They're going to do the same thing. But our price cut is tied in with a promotion that we're doing that I called some of the radio stations about. Some of them wanted to talk with me. Some of them didn't, but we think it's novel. And the idea is basically to come in, and we'll forego the cost of your gas up to 25 cents a gallon if you can beat my retarded brother in a wrestling match.
Your retarded brother in a wrestling match?
Yeah. The idea is... As you know, a lot of retards are...
Can we say something other than retards this week?
Okay. Mentally disabled people are strong for whatever reason. I got into talking to Tom Clemens over, who owns the Sunoco station, and I said to him, have you ever arm wrestled my brother? And he said, no. I said, he'll tear your arm right off. He'll rip your arm out of the socket. That's how strong they are. So I said, well, maybe we can get a promotion going where you can come in here and wrestle my brother, and he's a great kid, but I don't know a whole lot for him to do other than, like I said, when the cars come in, we'll direct him over to the other pump. My brother will come out, and he'll step on the rubber cord that makes the bell sound, because he wants to make the bell sound. So we let him do that.
And you can get 25 cents a gallon off the cost of your gas if a guy wrestles your brother.
That's right.
And what makes him strong is he's retarded.
Well, I don't know what makes him strong, but he likes to wrestle, so.
All right, so you're out in Redlands, huh? And that's, I believe that's out on California Street?
Yeah, and we'll be doing this for the next couple of days, so I don't know whether or not you're interested in telling your listeners about it.
Well, I got to tell you something. I mean, I haven't been around that long, but I think I've been around long enough. It ain't worth it for me to drive all the way to Redlands to get 25 cents off, even if it is 25 cents off. In order to get that, though, I got to wrestle your retarded brother. Come on, man.
Well, I don't know what you're laughing about.
Well, first of all, I live all the way out in Thousand Oaks. I'm going to drive 50 miles to wrestle your retarded brother so I can get a quarter off.
Well, what are you laughing about?
What am I laughing about, man? Are you crazy?
No, but my brother's retarded.
Yeah, it's funny, man.
All right, well, you ain't got nothing to beat it.
No, man, I don't.
I'll tell you what's funny. My ass in your face.
That's good. It's supposed to be, that's a match. Have you got a match, my ass in your face?
Yeah. Well, I changed it.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Well, guess what? Now I'm not going to have anybody go out to your gas station. It's stupid, and nobody go out there.
Come out to my gas station.
No, don't go out there.
Come on out.
No, don't.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Uh-huh.
Hang up on that guy. Next time I get a promotion on this radio show, I want it to be legitimate.
So you got to get something to promote the show.
So I'm going to send people out to the guy's gas station to wrestle his retarded brother for 25 cents off a gallon.
You're dying on the vine. You got to get some marketing going.
How's that help my show? That helps his gas station. Maybe. Even if people who live in Redlands ain't going to go over to the guy's gas station and wrestle his freaking retarded brother for 25 cents off a gallon. I don't know why I'm laughing, but...
Well, it's a way to get business.
That's fine for him. He can get business any way he wants. I ain't gonna go over there. You think I'm that cheap, man, that I need to save... You know, what do I... I put 20 gallons in my car.
Okay. How much do you pay a gallon?
Well, let's just say it's like 50 bucks to fill my car up. 25 cents off of that, that's...
Yeah, you can't even do the math. How do you know?
I don't know. But it ain't going to be worth it. Let's say it cost me 30 bucks to fill up. I don't give a crap.
You wouldn't wrestle a retard to get that kind of a break, to get those kind of savings. Those savings come along once in a lifetime.
Uh-huh. What are you all of a sudden, Bill DeVille over there at the Vons, man, selling me freaking cucumbers? Those savings come along once in a lifetime. Why don't you give me your Vons Club card, man? You know, that's what that cat ought to do, is give people discounts based upon some discount card. Not come over there, get his retarded brother out of the back who's playing with the gas rags, and wrestle him. All right, they might as well come over here and wrestle you, bud. 1-800-44... By the way, bud, where was your mom last night?
Why?
Two women broke into some medical display and stole a fetus out of a jar. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pull your head out of your ass, plug into the world. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, gasoline, forget it. $2.50, $2.75. Nothing's going to happen, though, so long as people accept the status quo. And the American people, as much as we cry about gas prices, we don't care. I mean, we don't. And I think it's because we can afford it. When we are not able to afford it any longer, we'll start screaming about it. And if we scream loud enough, then they begin getting serious about something other than oil. But I want to tell you something. You'll find this interesting. Well, maybe you won't. I don't care. But just check this out. Because, you know, I'm a big history buff, right? And it's, you know, why are you reading that history, Henry? We're living in the here and the now. Why are you burying your face? Well, because things repeat themselves. Over and over and over again. Why? Because people don't learn the lessons. All right, now you know, this applies to right now. Check it out. Boom. So I'm reading this book on Pearl Harbor. Now, the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor wasn't a surprise. We knew they were going to attack us. Because it had been the dream of the Japanese to attack Hawaii for generations. That was the dream of the Japanese to hit the U.S. at Hawaii. They always wanted to do it for a long time. But we didn't know quite how they were going to do it. So we wanted to put up radar installations on Oahu. And we had to petition the National Park Service to do it. This was in the spring of 1941. Now understand, the Japanese hit Pearl Harbor in December 41. We were petitioning the National Park Service to erect radar stations. And guess what they said? As long as it doesn't mess up the view and make everything look oh so bad. And so they said, no, you can't do it, because they had to be above ground. They, for some reason, they wanted these, the National Park Service wanted them to be below ground. All right, now that was the National Park Service saying, no, you're not going to do that. And the idea that the Japanese would attack Pearl Harbor is the most preposterous thing. Well, everyone knows that they would never dare take on... Well, they did, man. Now, guess what? Here we are, 2005. Well, you don't want to drill for oil in Alaska? What about the caribou? All right, and everybody says, oh, Henry, you can't draw that... Really? How do you know what happens if the supply of oil from the Middle East gets just stopped for whatever reason? This is done, right? Well, then, I mean, I've talked to grown-up adults, all fully grown up, and, like, they crap for themselves, and they wipe and everything, and they say the following, well, then I'll just walk. I mean, I'm serious, man. These are people who are, like, and I'll grow vegetables, and there'll be wonderful wheat fields that I'll frolic through, and it'll just all be so communal. I'm what? No, serious, man. I'm talking serious now. What are you going to do if the supply of oil gets cut off? Where do we go? Well, then I'll just take, you know, the bus. The bus runs on gas. Yeah, but we'll have enough for buses. Wait a minute. You can't even get a really straight answer out of people because everybody goes to kiddie kid land. When you talk about that whole trip, everyone turns into like they're five. What happens, seriously, if the supply of oil is stopped from the Middle East? What do we do?
I don't know.
You know, everyone's just like doing a little Shirley Temple thing, sticking their finger in their dimple and curtsying with some polished up patent leather shoes. I mean, it's nuts. So the exact same thing in 1940, guy says, we need to have radar installation. Now, if you know anything about Pearl Harbor, one of the reasons why we totally screwed the pooch on that one, man. I mean, it was a cluster bang. similar to the World Trade Center. And they had commissions, too, just like we got on this one. Oh, man, they had them till the freaking cows came home. They had 9 million commissions, and they fried everybody's rear end. How did this happen? How did these... boom, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Generals, admirals, guys were fired left and right. Dudes were out on their rear ends, man. I mean, they skewered some people. Why didn't you know this and why didn't you know that? Just like the American public to, because we do, we put our faith in people. We say, go do the freaking job, man. I'm busy. I'm oiling up a free, you know, I'm doing a oil change on this car. Would you guys mind taking care of the Navy? I'm just a taxpayer. So that's not an unreasonable thing for us to expect these cats know what they're doing, right? Now the guys are out there and said, we have got to defend Pearl Harbor. We need radar installations, sir. Well, you're going to have to get permission from the National Park Service. Okay, can we get permission to put radar there? No. Thank you. You're welcome. The radar installations would have detected those incoming planes. We would have been able to scramble our fighters, and we might have been able to intercept those Japanese planes, and there might not have been as many men killed. Seriously. If we'd gotten those radar installations up, we could have scrambled our fighters out there. We could have met the Japanese in the air instead of all of a sudden waking up with our toothbrush hanging out of our face and there's like torpedoes hitting the water in Pearl Harbor, blowing ships out of the water, right? Now here we are, 2005. Guess what? Do you think maybe we could have permission to drill oil out of Alaska because the oil supply in the Middle East and the fact that we have to go down there is causing us to be involved in all kinds of hell and mayhem down?
No, we with the caribou are so very deeply important.
Okay, so that's, you know, that's my speech for tonight.
That was very good, Mr. Andrew. Yay, way to go.
Well, thank you, bud. Now, I'm going to go down and wrestle that guy's retarded brother because, you know, I got to thinking about it. That 25 cents off a gallon's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going with you.
Great. You know what? You can wrestle him. It's Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.